This morning, our senior pastor, Mark Pavla, and his wife and their children are on a much-deserved vacation out in Bayfield. And so we have a special treat this morning for you. We have a special guest speaker today. His name is Walton Johnson. Walton Johnson's first church was in 1950, some 60 years ago, in Springvale, Minnesota. Since then, he had served in seven churches over the next 30 years, retiring in 1983. And of course, as you know, most, if not all, pastors never really retire. And for the next... Whoa, hi. Did you hear any of that? Okay, good. All right, now it's plenty loud, so the people in the back can hear. Okay. He retired in 1983, and as you know, like I was saying, most pastors, if not any, ever really, truly retire. And over the next 20 years, he was an interim pastor at 12 different churches and was even serving here at Bayside as our visitation pastor. It is a joy to know him. We love him very much. And he brings life to this church as a very young man. He brings life to this church throughout all of the different things of our church, the different events that we have, but specifically during the Martha ministry time after the service. So if you don't know who Walton is, you'll know after he speaks, obviously, but you'll know when you see him in the fellowship time. He loves to just connect with others. And so we are just pleased to have him have the opportunity to preach for us this morning. Please give a warm welcome to our very own Walton Johnson.
I'm always thankful for a little help. The message, according to the bulletin, says the truth about Jesus. That's kind of keeping in the style. You know, we had the truth about marriage. We had all these different ones that Mark has been so ably teaching and bringing to our attention. And originally, my message thought was called, Let's Talk About Jesus. Some of you older timers here might remember that we used to sing a chorus like that. Let's talk about Jesus. Hey, what about let's sing about Jesus? So I've asked Jane Trakel. You know Jane? There she is. To sing for us a little bit about Jesus as a sort of a, that's my introduction. Then I don't have to do the introduction. Just let Jane do it. And just, will you do that, Jane?
Yes. I don't think my mic is on, though. Is it on? Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't hear it. All right.
Here she goes.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for victories won. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the tender care, for thy word and answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, whatever befall, Jesus, my Savior, is my all in all. talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the mighty God supreme through all eternity. Let's talk about Jesus, the great I am, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
I should even give the topic with that chorus. Thank you, Jane. Introductions are always interesting, and especially when they're musical and sung by Jane. Appreciate that very much. I'm going to ask, by the way, do you like the pulpit up here? They thought maybe I wouldn't be able to hold on to the lectern, so they gave me something solid. Anyway, I wanted to ask, how many of you were here last Sunday? You just raise your hands. Ooh, the whole crowd almost. Let me ask you a question. Are you still thinking about that garbage? So am I. I'm sure it was eventually taken care of. I know our pastor, he probably just went back and took care of it himself. Anyway, that was a kind of a wonderful story, and that's the way our pastor is. And he tells what he does and what he doesn't do. So it was very good. I appreciate that. Well, just a little bit. Let's talk about Jesus. You like to hear something about Jesus? There's three illustrations in the scriptures that... I love those stories when Jesus took care of a situation in a delightful manner. Well, first, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. It's an important word. He didn't come to condemn the world. You notice how the word and the thought and the purpose of condemnation is, it's missing in Jesus working with people, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then, of course, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came, to seek and to save what was lost. Well, it's pretty clear why Jesus came, right? For salvation. To bring forgiveness, yeah. It's important to recognize that beside providing salvation for those who would put their trust in him, his lifestyle, how he lived, you know, and how he handled the ordinary and unique situations of life, even in the most delicate settings. And I have three stories today I'd want to share with you, and they're all about ladies. I don't know if that says anything. But anyway, they're all about ladies. And in this case, it seems like the ladies turn out to be the bad guys. And that's too bad, isn't it? But anyway, it's a good story about each one, and I want to tell those stories. Besides providing salvation for those who would put their trust in Christ, his lifestyle, how he lived and how he handled those situations was important to us to observe and understand and memorize. It gives us a few examples how we as Christians ought to respond to those around us. Yeah, how did Jesus do it? You remember we used to wear some bracelets or something? WWJD. Remember that? Somebody had that. What would Jesus do? Yeah, that's a pretty good thing to think about. That's a pretty good lane to have. I would like to do what Jesus would do in these various situations. What would he do? So we have some examples here today of how Jesus handled situations and how Christians, you and I, who have been saved and our hearts and lives changed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, are able to respond to those around us, those precious souls Jesus loves and desires to have with him forever in eternity. Perhaps a few opportunities for each of us to check out our own lives and our motives for living. When we want to talk about Jesus, when we think about Jesus, we don't only talk about, when we think about, we do, don't we? And we think about Jesus, yeah. We sometimes feel like bursting into songs of praise, and Jane helped us a little bit this morning. Finding expression in those hymns and choruses with which we are most familiar. You recognized the chorus, Let's Talk About Jesus, the original title of my message. Oh, how I love Jesus. Turn your eyes about Jesus or tell me the story. We sing those choruses. We sing, and the worship team leads us in beautiful praises to the Lord and a lot more. Why did Jesus come? Oh, God with us. He came to be with the people. You think about the creation. We could go way back and talk about the creation. You know, God made it so. Put some people on there and animals and birds and fish and everybody else. And there are those people. That's you and me. We are offspring of those first two that showed up. Why did Jesus come? He wanted to come down here and kind of check out his creation. Something like that, maybe. So we could see what God is like. Is that nice? Let's take a look at Jesus and you get to see what God is like. When I was my first church, Springvale, we mentioned that, was my first church. There was a gentleman, an elderly gentleman. I don't know anything about elderly, but anyway, this man was an elderly gentleman, and he was kind of grouchy. But anyway, he spoke up in the adult class, and he said, what does Jesus look like? Well, you know, you caught me there for a second. I backed me off, and I wasn't quite sure. I didn't have that verse at my fingertips. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we know a little bit, don't we, by the record, what God looks like. And then so people could worship him in person. There were some people there when he was on earth, like the shepherds. Remember, they came to worship when he was a little baby. And the wise men later, and Thomas who said, my Lord and my God, and countless others. And also us today. We come together as redeemed people, saved sinners, to worship our Savior. Yeah, that's it. I hope we have that in mind. So, yeah, we talk about him too in our fellowship afterwards. And we talk to each other about him. Well, also, Jesus came so that people could know that the Father, his Father, our Father, is aware of and loves the people of the world. John 3:16, you know that one. So that the Father's love could be clearly seen as demonstrated in the giving of his Son. And also so that the chief mission of Jesus in this world was to be accomplished, that is to provide forgiveness for sinners. Oh, aren't we happy and thankful for that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that's it in 1 Timothy, so that any of us would have the opportunity to find out about and accept that Son of God as our Savior. And then joyfully to have the privilege to share that goodness with others. Yeah, our pastor speaks to us and said, share the man, share the word. Share your life and what's happened to you so we have that chance to tell others about what he means to us. Well, so when Jesus came in, he had in mind that he had something to do for us. So we got work to do. Yeah. So that by his life lived before the world, we could find in Jesus an example. I got the word example. Savior, that's the big word. Example, that's there too. We talk about Jesus. We recognize he's an example. Yeah, an example. Okay. Of how God intended for us to live our lives on this earth. 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. There it is written in his word, that you should follow in his steps. Yeah, that's pretty good. And John 13:15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And here's a little thought I had, so you and I could recognize him when he returns. It was an ugly family in that first church that I served. They had two girls. And one of them would say, as she'd look at the sky, she remembered the scripture said he comes with the clouds. She said to her mother and dad as she headed off for school, she said, you know, the sky, I think it's the kind of clouds Christ will use when he returns. She's talking about that all the time. Little girl thinking about Jesus coming back and the clouds look like they're all set for him. Okay. Jesus coming back again. Ooh, is that exciting. That's thrilling. Well, what Jesus did and how he handled the delicate situations of life while at the same time giving an example. I got three. There are lots more. The woman at the well. John 4. You got John 4 in your Bible someplace? It means it's on there someplace. Oh, no. Okay. John 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. And that's not too significant here, but it upset him, I guess. And though, although in fact, it was not Jesus who was baptizing. No. But his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. He's heading north. We like it up here, don't we? North here. Jesus headed north. Here he is. Now that he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, S-Y-C-H-R. You remember that one, don't you? Sychar. He came there and stopped. Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, whom Joseph isn't mentioned too much in the New Testament. But here he's got a well. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well and was about the sixth hour. Some kindly person must have thought of putting a few benches down there by the well. People got tired, they could sit down. Jesus' disciples went right on into town. Boy, were they hungry. And they were looking for food. And a Samaritan woman came to draw water. It was around noon. Regular water drawing time, I guess. And Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And she says, this lady coming with this bucket and water. Boy, his disciples had gone to town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. She's going to correct him right on the spot. You know, sometimes we get corrected, don't we, guys? Anyway, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman, and how can you ask for me a drink? The Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Oh boy, yeah, that's a kind of a surprise answer, isn't it? And sir, the woman said, you have nothing to drink. She doesn't quite understand. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? He's a little puzzled. Oh, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and his herd? And Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Yeah, just the old regular routine, yeah. But whosoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's in John 4. What do you think about that? The lady wasn't quite sure what to think. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and have to come draw water. She said, yeah, she's going to get out of taking that trip. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. And this situation is developing a little bit in the wrong direction, see. And it's not proper, you know. Jesus wanted things proper. And even though he went by the strict rules of Jews and Samaritans, he said, go call your husband. That's a dandy. I like that. She said, I have no husband. I have no husband. So Jesus said, yeah, right. You know, that's what we say now. Yeah, right. Jesus said, you are right when you say you have no husband. And the fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Oh, boy, did that one backfire. I have no husband. She got really caught in the act right there. Sir, the woman said, I see you are a prophet. She found he knew more about her than she intended. And our fathers worship in this mountain, and you Jews, the clean place to worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet a time is coming when, now it's already come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Okay, here's getting a little heavy. Spiritual talk, you know. Hey, what does he do now? He said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. She displayed a little bit of her spiritual understanding. She said, I know about the Messiah. Yeah, we know about the Messiah. And Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. She didn't get that. I don't think she got that. Oh, okay. It was around noon at Jacob's well at Sychar. There was being this Samaritan woman. Can you give me a drink of water? Jesus said, a conversation, living water. Give me this water. Go call your husband. No husband. Little personal history. He said, you've had five husbands. Oof, boy, that's smart. You know, okay, change the subject. That's the thing to do. Change the subject. You thinking about the Messiah? I know about them. I've heard about them. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good here. I am he, Jesus said. That backed her off. We have no record of what she said or thought. Well, here come the disciples. They were coming back with their trip to get some food in town. So the woman leaves, and she goes back to town, and she tells the people in town what happened at the well. And she didn't stop there. She brought the people out to see Jesus. Hey, that's the way. Bring people out to see Jesus. And bring them here maybe to church, and maybe they get a glimpse of Jesus through the word and through the songs and through the Christian people. Get a little glimpse of Jesus. Okay. Meanwhile, the disciples have been concerned about food, and while a woman had a bad reputation, there she is, was bringing the townspeople out to see Jesus. The disciples, hey, any hamburgers in town, you know? Jesus said, I met somebody out here I want you to meet. I'm thinking about the Messiah. She began to wonder if maybe he truly was. Meanwhile, the disciples were unable to handle this too well. But it says that many people believed in Jesus because of her testimony. What about that? Many believers, and then more later because of what Jesus talked to them. And it's a nice little stirred up right there. We call it revival at the well. Yeah, it's got a little sign up there. If I'd been there, I'd painted the sign, of course. What did Jesus do? He ignored restrictive social customs as he struck up a conversation with a Samaritan woman. Huh? Yeah. He shared the good news, the living water. What more he said is not recorded. He allowed the woman to see herself as a sinner without being judgmental. That's good. That's the way Jesus worked. And let the alerted individual be the witness when his own disciples missed the opportunity. Somebody said to me one time, the first missionary in the New Testament was a woman with a bad reputation. And that's not very good to hear. But she found the Lord. She came to know the Lord. She saw him. She talked to him. She told people about him. She shared the good news. Jesus allowed the woman to see herself as a sinner. He didn't judge her. That's good. Let the alerted individual be a witness when his own disciples missed the opportunity. Went to town, came back, crowd of people. This is Jesus. Maybe he's the Messiah. He had spiritual harvest, significant spiritual harvest in an unorthodox situation. Can you picture? You think that you get this picture now? You see the story? Can you picture this lady talking to Jesus out there by the well and then to the people? We got a good example of outreach. That's outreach. Anything else happen? Well, over there in John 8, we didn't really settle that story too well, but that's what happened. That's remarkable, I think. John 8. Let me read those first verses. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. The dawn appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around, and he sat down to teach them. Yeah, he did that kind of regularly. He went down to the temple, and he wasn't welcomed by the spiritual leaders of the day, or religious leaders, we should say. But he had all kinds of people gathered, so there must have been a nice crowd there. And so he sat down and teach them, and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were not sitting to listen. They were out rounding up some sinners. And Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. No, come on now. How do you do that? This little question right there. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. So the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women." Now what do you say? This is the trap, you know. He said, if he doesn't stick with Moses, he's not really one of us. He's not legitimate. Okay. These people knew the rules. Both man and woman were to be punished in such situations. Hey, where's the guy? Where's the man? You got any sneaking suspicions about this case? Well, maybe. It could be. All right, guys. Get your stones. Get big ones. We're ready to stone the lady, aren't we? Yeah, we are. That's what we want to do. We want to follow Moses' teaching. Stone this lady. And if you kind the guy, we'll get him too, yeah. And so they're all set. That isn't saying in the scripture, but that's what I kind of think happened. And then he disarms the accusers by moving the focus from the accused woman to them. So he looks at them, all standing there, you know, stones, someone got two stones. Now he said, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. He didn't say, don't throw any stones. He just said, who is without sin, throw the first stone. And when he gets the first stone, you know, the rest of you can go ahead and do what you want. First, throw the first stone. He's without sin. He was without sin. No takers. Not even the self-righteous religious leaders who instead left the scene less obviously than they had arrived. Come in and drifted away. The oldest one first. Yeah, they had him. He set the example. Come on, guys, let's go. Class dismissed. And Jesus' statement, he noticed this. The focus is back to the accused woman. He said, you noticed where are your accusers? Well, he said, they're not here anymore. Their condemners are gone. Neither do I condemn you, he said, implies forgiveness. Forgiveness rather than condemnation, leaving her with the direction to live righteously without in any sense condoning the sin. Yeah, he's pretty clever. He knows how to do those things. Good example for us. Don't come blasting in on the condemnation of sin. Come with love, letting people know that there's a different way to live and that there's a Savior from sin available. What did Jesus do? He let the finger of accusation be redirected back from the woman themselves, yeah. Rather in self-judgment as sinners. So they know that all of a sudden the people who are the sinners in the case are those who brought up the subject. He who was without sin. Oh boy, that's all of us. Yeah, that's all of us. And the oldest one set the example. He got up and left, and the others followed. So he let that finger of accusation be directed back to the accusers by the reaction found themselves in self-judgment as sinners. Yeah, we are, yes, we are. Okay. And Jesus handled each case individually and personally as he demonstrated his love for sinners. It seems their lack of love for the one caught in sin had disqualified them as potential punishers of the sinner, and also of giving them the way of salvation. They missed it all. Okay. Anything else to say? Jesus was able to let the accusers and judges expose themselves as sinners and hypocrites, even in the religious bureaucracy. By his handling of this delicate situation, Jesus was able to encourage the acceptance of individuals as precious souls. He's not throwing stones at her. He's not condemning her. He's letting her stand under his kind of protection. He was able to encourage the acceptance of individuals. Great lesson to his followers and to us. You get it? Yeah, that's good. He gave an example to those present and us too of how to practice love by diffusing the eagerness of those religious leaders to expose sin in others while acknowledging, parading as saints, spiritual leaders. In the process, they had to acknowledge their own sinfulness. Got something here in Luke. Have you rung the bell on me yet? I can go for a few more minutes. Thank you. the woman and the perfume. Hey, you like that? Don't you like that perfume? Isn't it? Oh, yeah, that's great. Luke 7. Oh, look at this. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. You know what that was? That was Simon. You found that out later. And so he went to the Pharisee's home and reclined at the table. That's reclined. You know, you don't say in those days, you don't say, come, sit up to the table. You say, come, recline up to the table. So there's the table in the middle, and the guy's with their feet out here, back, and they, you know, kind of lean like this. I think that's the way they ate. You know, with an elbow. Well, they probably got stuff on their elbow, but they could clean that up later. Anyway, there he was. What's the story? When the woman, hey, here comes another woman. Oh, boy, we got trouble. Here comes this woman that lived a sinful life in that town. She was known as the sinful woman. Okay, we got that. They all knew that. And learned that Jesus was eating at the feast. She found that out. The word is out. And she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. That sounds impressive. I like that. An alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, see, the table in there back, and he's back here, and his feet are over here. And then he's with the people they're talking, visiting. She brought this perfume container, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She's weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair. Oh, boy. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. Perfume was mostly for the head, you know, anointing. It was different. And when the Pharisee, who had invited him, as Simon, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. A prophet doesn't let a sinful woman pour perfume on him. That was his conclusion. Wait a minute. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. He knew what he was thinking. That's pretty good, knowing what people are thinking. Tell me, teacher, he said. And he tells him the story. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other owed him 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him, so he canceled the debt of both. I'd like to run across a guy like that. And now, which of them will love him more? Well, Simon had been put on the spot. He said, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Huh? Would that be it? Well, that's kind of natural. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. So he turned around toward the woman, said to Simon, you see this woman? I came into your home. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Not for that act, but by her previous experience, apparently. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Yeah, okay. She had to be told, had to be reminded. Yeah, okay. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. A woman who had lived a sinful life came and anointed Jesus' feet, weeping, kissing, and wiping with her hair. Very emotional expression of her love for Jesus and her thankfulness for forgiveness. That's what we get. We catch that said. Okay, Jesus understood. And Simon the Pharisee criticized Jesus for allowing this display of emotion by this type of woman. If this man were a prophet, he wouldn't allow this kind of thing. And Jesus explained that this woman's action was her expression of love and gratitude for forgiveness. Her acts of kindness were indications of her saving faith. Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah. They missed the critical item. What did Jesus do? He indicated his loving acceptance of this service of love and gratitude. Worship by a forgiven sinner. I like that expression. Worship by a forgiven sinner. That's us on Sunday morning, isn't it? Worship by forgiven sinners. Yeah. We sang about it already. She was actually an example. Anyway, he reproved Simon for his own missing attentions. Kind of says, kind of like this, Simon, you didn't even wash my feet. That's a pretty strong statement. Those are proper things to do, and he had not done them. Okay. Once again, he turned the focus of the accuser from the sinful woman to Simon himself. His own failings became clearer while informing the woman of forgiveness. How do we react to all these three stories? There are many other illustrations of how Jesus lived in ministers which are recorded in Bible record. All great examples for all of us. Yeah, just learn to live like that and treat sinners like that. When you get saved, this is how you live. That's the point. When you get saved, this is how you live. May the Lord help us not only to accept this Jesus as our personal Savior, but might we find in his life among us here on earth an example of how to think and react to life situations and how to express that love for others that he demonstrated through his stay on earth. Jesus' love for sinners is evident in all three of these accounts. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. We sing that sometimes. Well, let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's ask the Lord to open doors. Let us seize the moments he provides. We can be assured he will help us and give us and guide us and will be glorified through us as we allow the Holy Spirit within to bring us to be more and more like Jesus. Jesus said originally, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I wish I had remembered that verse at that particular moment in my first church. Just one look at Jesus in his word and we have a glimpse of the glory of God. Our prayer of confession of sins, finding forgiveness in Jesus our Savior, gives us new life. We are alive in Christ. And he has given us a desire and ability to serve him and live in his pattern of life. Holy Spirit helps us to be followers of his example. We are aware then, and we have not only been saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but are being transformed into his likeness. You like that expression? Transformed into his likeness. The Holy Spirit within does that. These illustrations this morning may give opportunity to observe just how Jesus handled the more difficult, delicate situations of life as well as the ordinary things, and to find in him and his life some examples of the way to live the Christian life. Yeah, we got them right here. Read the stories. Read them again. God help us to find in Jesus our personal Savior from sin. We have a prayer team that comes over here. And somebody would like to know Jesus for sure, that they're forgiven. Somebody will give you a little help. You don't have to come over here. Just talk to anybody. I want to be a forgiven. It gives us a little chance here, doesn't it? To find in Christ not only forgiveness, but in his life, some examples of the way to live the Christian life. We want to know that, and here we are, some dandies. God help us to find in Jesus our personal Savior from sin and our example of the way to live the Christian life. As Jesus intended, God help us to do just that, especially as we have opportunity to help others come to Jesus as the Holy Spirit takes care and corrects. It's our prayer that we may so walk with the Lord that he will be able to use us as his instruments of blessing to others and as his messengers of the good news that is ours to share. God sometimes accomplishes his purposes in ways that surprise us, even for those impossible tasks. Our response could be something like this: Jesus, let me be your child by faith in your son and in yourself. Let me be your humble servant, sensitive to your leading and direction, and aware of how you did your life so as to accomplish your purpose through me for your glory. Jane's going to sing a conclusion to these thoughts.
Within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every keeps me singing as I go.
I want to thank Walton for sharing with us this morning. I think they're going to need you back there, Walt.
Okay.
We're going to transition into a time of communion. And as we do that, and as I think about what Walton said, and more important than what he said, I think, for us this morning, is to see the joy that he has in his heart because of Jesus. And if I ever reach the age that Walton is and I have half the joy in the Lord that he has, I'd be a happy man. And we thank Walton for what he shared this morning, and most importantly, that joy that he has in his heart because of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we praise you this morning. We praise you because of who you are and because of what you've done. We praise you for Jesus. I thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the way that Jesus lived his life, Lord, and for the way that he interacted with people, and specifically these three women that we learned about this morning. And I thank you for forgiveness, Lord, that you would forgive sinners like us. I thank you for the words that Walton shared and for the life that he has lived. And God, we just praise you that we can come together and celebrate what Jesus did for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.